is Catholic, and not everyone can just like
wow.
quit their jobs for the day because an old
Look
man died.
How it turns out how racist Teresa
against
is.
Against Polish people?
Also known
as, are Polish
yes.
people a race?
Yeah.
Whoa, getting into it.
Anyways.
I mean, that's literally in their name.
Polish?
Like people from Poland.
I don't get it. Where's race in the name? I want to find that joke. I'm having a hard time finding it.
No, there's no joke. It's like literally Polish is a race.
Well, it's a nationality.
It's a nationality. What are you saying?
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
It's all a construct.
Of course it is. But we're unfortunately living with some very real repercussions of certain types of constructs. And
sobriety is a construct.
Don't have that problem that other people do.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because you seem to have a lot of animosity towards them.
Not Polish people. I have animosity.
You just told us about how you were committing hate crimes against Polish people just to get to work.
A silent procession, miles and miles long. No. I'm against
those people
anyone
weren't
keeping me from getting to work.
And they just happen to only be Polish people.
Well, I don't know
name
if
some
they,
other people who keep you from going to work.
I don't know if they
oh,
were all
Oh, you can't
Polish.
Name anybody, can you?
I don't know if they were all Polish. I just know that it's not surprising anymore that that was like such a ginormous, huge procession of people. I mean, I'm sure there's even more Catholics than there are Polish in Chicago. I don't fucking know. Even people that maybe grew up Catholic and just decided, you know what? I'm bummed for the day. I'm going to go walk in this line with everyone else. I don't know.
There's probably a lot of Catholics in Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. But anyways.
Irish?
Yep. Lots of Irish.
That's not a race.
Oh, Polish is a
According
race.
According to you, it is.
They both end in ish. How are they both not separate races?
I mean, by that logic, then, you know, like.
By the logic you were using.
Late-ish.
By the logic you were using, because we said it's a country, and you're like, it's all a construct. So it's like taking that logic and saying a nationality is now a race. You can't – I was using your logic, and then now you're trying to say it's my logic and
See,
try
there's
to
your
put
problem.
Me on whatever. Anyways, okay, so we didn't start the show yet.
No.
You know what? I'm just going to retroactively say that the show started 5 minutes ago.
Oh, no.
Okay.
We're going to get all of it in there. All of your anti-Polish hatred.
Oh, whatever.
My goodness. You refuse to cop to your racism. So we'll just call it hate crimes against Polish people that Teresa commits. And just leave it.
They say Polish people have delicious pastries.
Yes, they do.
Oh, now you're going to try and walk it back. And I'm like, oh, no, I love Polish people now. I'm not buying
it.
And I don't
think
the listeners are buying it.
I don't like this wind up because I get wound up. Anyway.
Welcome to AE Double Back, the show 2/3 of which does not hate Polish people, for Wednesday, December 20th, 2023. It is the holiday bash, I remember seeing a sign at some point during the show, but
they barely mention it. There's really no graphics or anything like snow.
No.
Well, you know, like the Republicans are going to be furious that the holiday bash wasn't
Christian
enough.
Or the Jesus bash.
Well,
we should all be Jesus bashing. That would be Christian, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, then. We'll call this the Jesus bashing show. To be super Christian. Or 2/3 of the show actually is Christian. Teresa, I guess,
But you said bashing?
Beats up Catholics? for reasons. I don't know why. Wait, it's not clear
bashing?
To me. What?
Maybe I'm not. I'm slow on the uptake here.
Well, it's Swerve versus Rouge the first matchup.
All right. Top of the show, Swerve comes out. No better way to start a show.
No,
absolutely not.
It's a Continental Classic match, Swerve and Rouge. Already, I'm upset at the top of this match because I don't want either of these guys to lose. Sure. So already, I'm fretting and I'm wringing my hands. This was a great match, and it looked like Swerve hit his head on the apron. I rewatched that bit like five different times because I was very concerned. And yeah, he smacked the side of his head on the fucking hard part of the apron. And I'm concerned.
Famously.
Like,
I mean, all of the apron is the hard part.
You know, as they say. But
nobody says that.
Nobody? You mean Shivani doesn't say it every fucking week? Taz doesn't say it?
He says it's the hardest part of the ring, surely.
Yeah. The hardest
part. But there's no harder part of the apron. It's just all hard.
I just said, as they say.
Nobody says it that way, though.
Stone Cold Chan classic. So hard to pick at what I'm saying, and I'm not saying anything weird, and I am not having it today. So
look, you had cookies, and we didn't. We're still sitting in our cookieless nightmare of lives.
Them. They take like 30 minutes.
Oh my god.
Anyway, I fucking love this match so much.
Excellent match.
It's real good.
It was excellent. And Swerve wins, which I was happy about, but also I also want Rouge to win, so it's a complicated feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only going to be one winner, so at this point you got to pick your battles. You got to pick a side and choose the guy you want to go through.
I was happy.
Complicated like so many chocolate chip cookies dusted with salt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gross.
You want to like it, but
it's just not right.
You know. Yeah.
I mean,
I would like them if I were invited to a cookie party. I would not badmouth my friends who gave me cookies.
I didn't badmouth my friends.
I'm not going to say. I wasn't talking about you. I was just talking about.
At this salt cookie party, is there enough water to help hydrate you?
That wasn't from the cookie party. That was a separate cookie.
Wait. There's a whole other
friend
cookie issue here?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You have multiple cookie, horrible cookie making friends?
No. I had one friend that gave me a cookie I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's not her fault. She likes it. And I'm sure other people like it.
And then your second friend?
My other friends, we were icing cookies and they were all delicious.
I see.
Icing them.
Mm-hmm. Decorating. Put all kinds of shit on them.
Yeah.
Like glitter.
Yeah, confetti type.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Like sparkly sugar.
I just had a piece of cake with one of those shiny balls. Like the teeny tiny balls.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't sugar. It was plastic.
What?
And it just like crunched. And I was like, what the hell is this? And apparently that's a thing. It's the first time I've ever run across it. Because I get a shiny ball on my cake. I assume it crunches and it's made of sugar. Because it's a goddamn cake.
Okay, they're not supposed to put plastic on it. That's not a thing.
They're not supposed to, but it absolutely was. And it was there intentionally.
You were all eating massive amounts of plastic every day. And we don't know it.
This was not a microplastic. This was a macroplastic.
Okay, well.
And I was not happy about it.
They weren't supposed to serve you that.
Well, they did. It was a good cake.
How would you
fancy-ass cake. You don't.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
You just hit it. But then also, I mean, if you've ever been to New Orleans, they have those freaking king cakes. And you're like, oh, surprise, there's a hard piece of plastic in here. Now you get to, on top of getting your teeth replaced, you get to bring the next damn king cake.
What matters here is that another domino has fallen, and Chan has also had delicious treats.
Ah, there we go.
I mean, like King Cake. A year and a half ago. When was I in New Orleans?
Fresh in your memory.
I feel like, yeah, biting down on plastic is always fresh in my memory. I've got that shit cataloged.
We used to live with a family, Catholic family.
And, tried to walk it back. That
would go hunting for bird and stuff like that. And so one Thanksgiving, I didn't eat the turkey because I don't eat turkey, but my brother did, and he broke his teeth on buckshot. Because we're not used to eating turkeys that might have buckshot in them. Also, what is buckshot made of? Is that okay to like fucking
eat? Absolutely not.
Cook
no.
In a fucking meal? You know what I mean?
No.
I feel like you're supposed to retrieve the bullet. It's metal.
It's metal, but what kind of metal? It's probably not lead.
They probably don't make it out of lead anymore, but even still, not great.
Not great. Well, anyways, yeah, he broke his teeth. Oof. Yay!
Well, that's what he gets for eating meat.
Mm-hmm. There's no buckshot in celery.
There's no buckshot lariat.
Nope. Uh-huh. No buckshot what?
Lariat.
Why would you say that?
Because we're talking about a wrestling show now.
Are we indeed?
Why, what do you got against Adam Page? Okay. Well, that was a very smooth seg.
Oh, except for when you ran a truck right over it.
Yes, it was something beautiful that needed to be destroyed. What don't you understand about that?
So, I gave this match a thumbs up.
Oh yeah, obviously. And yeah, just this episode just had Swerve all over it, and I was pleased as punch.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Christmas crowd after going all. So crazy for both Swerve and Rouge, but it was clearly like a Swerve heavy audience, which I agree with.
It was at best a 60-40, 70-30.
Yeah. The next segment, we have Jericho backstage. He's got a mic, and he's telling us all, as we may or may not have picked up over the week, that Kenny Omega.
Enough for Teresa.
I need more cookies. Kenny Omega is out indefinitely due to diverticulitis. Now, I have a friend that had diverticulitis and was in the hospital for a long time, and it was like he was saying it was a miracle that he didn't die. I don't know what necessarily happens in the hospital with diverticulitis and where it can take a turn, but I very much hope Kenny has a speedy recovery.
Yeah, he's on the lengthy wounded toll.
Yeah, because it can probably waste away his muscle, because he's going to lose a shitload of weight is what's going to happen.
Yeah, like the illness is like there's a hole in your intestine.
Yeah,
and then all of the literal shit gets out into your body, and you know what happens. What happens is exactly what you think would happen if a bunch of, fecal matter got into your body.
And, like, just your body's toxic sludge, you know, like our bile and whatever, all that stuff.
Yeah, and it's rough.
It's poisonous. Like, it poisons your
Brock
blood.
Brock Lesnar had it, and it, you know, like, took him down. Part of the reason, I think, why he's not in MMA anymore, it's just because, like, it just got to the point where, like, you could just sock him in the stomach and he's gonna go down because there's a big ass hole in there now. So hopefully he's okay.
He's still wrestling, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, as much as he has to, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, well, hopefully good things happen and Kenny comes back and can live to fight another day.
It was a nice segment that that Jericho did. Like, it seemed like he handled it well, and it was nice that he did Kenny's sign off.
Yeah, and he really waited to get the audience going, so that even though he's backstage, you could hear the crowd. So if Kenny was watching, he would see that. You know, who knows if wrestlers watch episodes, right? We don't know.
Well, we know that if they watch them, they watch them from a very strange angle.
Just cheat it out, always.
Yeah. Always.
So I don't know. Are we thumbing this segment?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was nice. They didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
They could have, you know, spun into an angle. They could have done all sorts of things. And just having a low-key Jericho saying, like, you know, this is what's happening. He's sick. We wish you well. I approve. I like it.
Yeah, I thumb that up.
Yeah.
Then we have Mark Briscoe versus Jay Lethal. Now, I really like seeing these guys wrestle because they're friends.
Mm-hmm.
And something about that just makes me feel good.
Sometimes friends wrestle.
Indeed. And that's part of the fun of this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, this match, it might have been the match that I might have enjoyed it more than I have, like, almost any other match from either of these guys. It was just like a really nice match and a good story.
This is a fantastic match. And what's interesting is neither of these guys had picked up any points. So this would be the match that they picked up points. And I feel sad that Jay Lethal lost because that means he didn't get any points.
Yeah, and it doesn't really make sense. I don't know. Like the it doesn't make sense that he would get none. Because he's too good to be completely shut out.
Yeah.
Like obviously, like the people that are at the top of the standings, like it's logical that they would like not have any losses, but there's nobody like particularly in the tournament that should have gotten nothing.
But also, like it's kind of mathematically really hard for there not to be someone who doesn't get zero. I don't know how many double negatives were in there, but like it's a situation where none of the people are bad.
Yeah.
You don't walk away from the tournament at any point going like, well, yeah, but that guy definitely shouldn't have been there just because he didn't get any points. Like every time all of these people put in good showing. So like, I don't mind that. And especially because the guy who does get zero, then, you know, like walks away from it and couldn't get a legitimate push because you're like, because then they have the story of like, I have to redeem myself, you know, and then put him on a little bit of a win streak.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Or in this case, break him up from Jeff Jarrett and all of them and have him do his own thing.
That'd
be great.
That would be interesting.
I loved this match. I have nothing bad to say, only positives. No. It showed both of these men in a great light, and I'm just happy to see, you know, Mark having a good match as a singles wrestler, and thumbs up.
For a tournament, you know, that he hasn't gotten very many points in, like, I feel like it's still been pretty good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up, baby.
Then we have Wardlow. A Wardlow promo.
No.
What? No,
before
no, no.
that, we have MJF being inducted into the Jewish Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, I didn't think that would be a segment.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
I mean, just the same as the Jericho segment, you know? It's like a character building thing.
Sure, yeah.
Tied into, you know, reality. Here's a guy who was inducted in Jewish Hall of Fame. And it was well-deserved, too.
Mm-hmm.
At 26, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah.
28?
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. I don't know what their criteria is, but he got in there pretty early.
Think of it.
Yeah.
Most kids are graduating college between 22 and 26. This kid taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm not in any halls of fame yet.
I middle it.
I appreciate your optimism.
I middled it not because it's a bad segment and not because it's whatever. I just
go ahead and say it.
The reason why I middle it is because it's a waste of time that I think could be better used in like it just was irritating in the sense that I'm like, this is kind of long. Like, they could have just done a recap of this, but this is really long. And it's like, again, there are no women being featured. I just get, whenever something like this that's like just kind of running out the clock gets me upset.
All right. I'm going to thumb it up because I do think it's, especially when you compare it to the time when, one of the guns threw quarters at MJF, you know, like a few days after the massacre in Israel, you know, it's like the unthinking anti-Semitism that crops up. Like, sure, let's just have a completely random, unprompted celebration of Judaism. MJF has always been a real big proponent of his Jewish heritage. And like, yeah, great. Do it, man. Let's see more of that. That's it. Yeah, I just liked it.
I thumb it up as well. I don't know. I didn't notice how long it was, and I appreciate the point. I feel like it's the sort of clout chasing that wrestling always does, and I suspect like it's something that they would have, like, if it had been the other way, I think that they would have like still done the segment if it had been a woman.
It'd be nice to think that.
Yeah, it would be nice to think that. Maybe it's naive of me to think that, but I feel like the yearning in pro wrestling for outside like clout is so strong that they will overcome their sexism.
I don't know. I mean, they barely mention when there's a belt change for women. They barely mention, except for this new Toni Storm one. This is the one. This is like the new Brit, but like they barely mentioned Willow when she got her, you know, big win, even though it wasn't technically supposed to be her win. She still did it, and they didn't really push it as much as they could have, or in my estimation would have had she been in the male roster, but whatever.
That's true. That's fair.
I mean, if this was just Joe Schmo gets inducted into the Carburetor Hall of Fame, like, I get that. Someone who does get a lot of screen time, you know. But I think because we're talking about a marginalized people, absolutely. You know, when Swerve gets inducted into some similar African American wrestler Hall of Fame, like, yeah, give him a segment too.
Cool.
Now we could get to your precious Wardlow promo.
So he's doing this good versus evil thing, and it's just too close to, you know, he's talking about MJF, you know, and the devil, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, this is not great. And he's talking about MJF's sins. And I was like, this is too much like Miro. Like, you really can't top the Redeemer. You can't top that bit. You can't top that character. So let's just sidestep it and do something else. Like, it doesn't have to be sins. You know, it could be, I don't know. I don't know. I'd read Dante's Inferno. Let's get some weird things from there.
Let's go Six Circle of Hell. Yeah, come on, y'all. Let's work on this here.
Do a scholarly report on the six different circles of hell and pull out references from that. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, just do something else. Just like, if you're the devil, I'm what some other fucking thing in hell that's in that book. And this is going to be you're going to enter my fucking third circle or whatever. I don't know. You know, just some shit like this. Just something different. It's just annoying.
I did not get the same vibes. I didn't get the, like, oh, this is traveling down Miro territory. But also it's is just more of the same. This is very repetitive. I thought it was well executed, but like you said exactly the same thing last week and the week before. So, you know, meh, there it is right there in the middle.
Middle.
Yeah.
We got Smojo in the ring.
What? And is he wrestling?
No, he's like, who the fuck's the devil? And then he accused MJF of being the devil. So MJF comes out. They sort of start getting into a tussle, and then the mask goons come out, and lights go out.
So many of them.
And the mask comes on the screen, and then these things say, where can you go? Who can you trust? Do you want to, you know, will you take a challenge for the belt? Da, da, da. And both MJF and Samoa Joe are like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do it. And I just, I don't know. I want this to be over with.
Allow me to give shape to the feelings that you are trying to express here. Do not have the words for. I believe I have crafted what you're feeling here.
Mm-hmm. You knew you were going to do that.
Well, it seems like you are on the same page here.
Basically, I mean, it's just it's starting to get annoying. Again, it's taking up a lot of time. It's not moving us any closer to where we need to be. No. And if anything, the segment that happens later at least throws a new twist in there. But this is nothing new. And it's, again, a waste of fucking time that we could have had. I mean, with the amount of time we could have saved, we could have cut Wardlow's segment. We could have cut this segment. We could have shortened MJF's previous segment and had a women's match. A second women's match.
Whoa, okay.
I know, how crazy is that?
Talking nonsense there,
Teresa. Talking about a marginalized group. That should be allowed to have a segment. Oh,
you're going to use my own logic against me, huh?
Uh-huh. Is that what's going to happen now? Whatever segment they choose. Anyway, I feel bad, but I'm downing it.
Oh, boy.
I don't disagree with you. I middle it just because, again, repetitive and wheel spinning as it's been, which, you know, is a hazard of professional wrestling. Like, sometimes you've got two more weeks before the pay-per-view and you just got to do the same thing, I guess. We're telling a story. Mm-hmm. We can't add new things, like, right at the end here. But also, yeah, I'm going to middle it just because MJF and Samoa Joe are such great talkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I do. I middle it for the same reason.
Then we have the best friends. They're talking to Renee. And Rocky Romero, Renee's like talking to Rocky, what are you going to do now that Trent's hurt? Which everyone in AEW is hurt. Maybe there's something to their style of wrestling that makes people get hurt. I don't know. I'm kidding.
Well, here's the thing, because that is a talking point that a lot of people bring up, and Meltzer like went and ran the numbers, and there's like 8.5% of the roster at AEW injured, and like an 8.7% injured over at, you know, WWE. So it's just sort of a perception that, you know, there's more people injured, and there's really not. There's just people are always injured, and that's just kind of the way of the business.
Is better in how they cover it, and they have a deeper roster to pull from at WWE, so you don't notice.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Rocky's like, you know, I just want to get some gold around my waist. And Orange takes that as a hint. He's like, all right, fine. Next week or whenever he said, So now Rocky got roped into a match with Orange for the international belts or whatever it is.
Yeah. I feel like what Orange like picked up wasn't necessarily what Rocky was putting down, because I think that when you like Rocky's thing comes off to me sort of like when you finish college and you're like, yeah, I'm looking around, I'm considering my possibilities, and that's just you bullshitting. You're like, I want to do nothing for a while.
Yeah,
is what you're really saying. I'm looking to just kick back, like for an indeterminate period of time. I'm not looking for somebody to give me an opportunity right now. Is the thing?
Yeah.
You can't really say to your parents, I just want to hang around on your couch for 6 months and smoke weed. So you say like, oh, I'm just looking at my options. You know, I'm just
trying to figure it out. That's exactly the thing. But Rocky, I think that's exactly what goes down here with Rocky. Is he's like, oh shit, I think I have to do something now.
Wait, did we all thumb it? Oh no, we didn't thumb it yet.
No.
I thumb it up. It was short. It's a different way to get a challenge. I like that it was a surprise to Rocky.
Yeah. I thumbed it up too. It's fun.
I'll thumb it up.
Tony Storm was on the announce desk for this next bit. It's Saraya versus Riho. A
delightful segment with especially with Tony there.
Yeah, Tony has no recollection of the Outcasts. No recollection. And
also, don't forget who else is on the announce table. The Human Duplex Machine.
Oh yeah,
everyone's favorite landlord wrestler.
That was pretty good.
That was funny.
Yeah, it was fine. I thought the match was fine.
Yeah,
I wasn't terribly interested, but I love Riho, so I was happy for that.
I do like Riho. I don't think Saraya's her best opponent.
Yeah.
It was fine.
It was fine. Riho wins, and Tony goes into the ring with her opera glasses.
Which was
to get very a funny. Good look at Riho. And then there's like a bit of a scuffle, but Mariah May helped. She hit Riho with Tony's belt so that Riho didn't hurt Tony any further.
Indeed. And the whole thing where, like, Tony Storm doesn't understand why she's doing it and sort of, like, doesn't know who she is. That whole thing isn't really clicking with me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really getting why it's supposed to be fun or whatever. But also, like, eventually they're going to fight, so this is fine. Even at its least entertaining, still pretty GD entertaining. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I middle it.
Yeah, the only...
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Did you have more to say about that?
Do you have more to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I thought the only things that were especially wrong with the segment were the natural, like, women's corner, like, crowding stuff. Like, if there was a little more, if there was some room to breathe, like some of it wasn't as strong as it could have been, would have been better.
Yeah. Again, time.
Also, yeah, this sets up Tony versus Riho for World's End, which I guess... Okay.
You know, they've probably worked together in the past.
Yeah, and they did mention a little bit, like, yeah, it was the Outcast who injured Riho and, you know, took her out for a while, so there's some sort of payback. But also, it's all entirely in the announce table. And Riho, like, put together a package. If she's not a great talker in English, you know, and you don't want to have her just like talking to Renee Paquette about why she's mad at Tony Storm, put together a recap package, because all right now I'm getting is just like, well, as you remember, like 15 months ago, an altercation happened between those two. Okay, now you should be terribly interested in this match.
Yeah, and have her say some shit in Japanese that isn't translated, but you're showing the fucking devastation match and her being out, whatever. Like, that would tell the story better, you know? But whatever.
Yeah.
Again, the things they would do for others that they don't do. It's just frustrating.
Mm. Yeah. It, I mean, like not everybody is going to get the rub you would necessarily want.
Right.
But if you're going to give her a shot at the title at a big pay-per-view.
Yeah. You'd want to do more.
Tell the goddamn story.
You would want to do better. Yeah. But anyways, and we don't know if this is a last minute thing or not, right? What if they've had to derail and, you know, switch gears to get Riho in there so that they could get her for the pay-per-view because something else happened. Like, I often wonder why are these bookings the way they are? And why does something seem so left field? And I mean, there has to be something going on in the background that we're just not privy to.
A lot of times there is, yeah. And someone got injured and like, oh God, we got to like redo the thing or whatever. All of which is totally fine. But like, we are basically at the pay-per-view now and you don't have time to, you know, like do a 4-minute video package, like getting me emotionally invested in this match.
Yeah.
It's the only goddamn women's match
of the night.
It's going to be there, right?
Oh, wait. Of the entire pay-per-view?
I mean, I'm assuming. There might be a Chris Statlander thing.
Oh, my God.
But, like, there's not going to be much. So, you know, make those moments count.
Yeah.
Please?
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Anyways, this match and whatever, it gets a middle from me.
Calder.
It's enough for me.
We got Samoa Joe and MJF backstage. MJF.
Oh, no. Wait. There's a prepared statement.
Oh, whoops.
From Christian.
Oh, right. I forgot. Okay. You talk about it.
Honestly, that's kind of it. I thought this was a great setup for some real fun comedy. But given the circumstances, you know, you have Tony Schiavone reading Christian's words, you really have to crank up Christian's words because then the fun is going to be in the juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I want to, like, shit in your mouth and shit down your neck. You know, like Tony Schiavone saying crazy stuff. And what we got was a fairly normal Christian promo that Christian himself would have, you know, like, cranked up to 11 because, you know, he's a master working his instrument, and Schiavone didn't have much to work with here. So I just think it should have been worked a little bit better. There was a couple great lines, like, you know, like, if you phone it in, I'm going to slap the yellow off your teeth, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that was great.
Or like everyone here shut up while Tony Schiavone conducts my business.
Yeah.
But, like, those were kind of few and far between, and you know what? Like, I'm not mad at this, but I just think it could have been a lot better.
Yeah,
it was kind of boring, honestly. Like, it's not, if you can't, if for whatever reason have Christian do it himself, then I don't know why you have to, like, why you like have to do it.
Yeah.
Well, like I'm saying, there's an opportunity here. It's different. Like, Christian could well have been backstage, but like, hey, let's mix it up. Let's do this thing. Like, I'm going to make Tony Schiavone look like an idiot by, you know, making him say all these terrible things, you know, just
Well, I mean, then you have to use Christian's presence to force Schiavone to really play it to the hilt.
Like, he could have said, you know, he is on vocal rest and just have Christian Cage standing next to Schiavone.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But I mean, if he really can't be there, I agree with Calder. Like, what's the point of this segment? Like, it doesn't do anything.
You could have done something with it. It would have taken a little more work. That's a shame they didn't put in that work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or something that would have taken like just any work, which they just never want to put in. they could have, done like a full segment for Ruby or something like that.
There's so many things that if they cut all the bullshit out of this night, there was so many other things that could have been plugged in if they wanted to. But the desire is not there.
There you go.
I'm not sure what I thought, Matt. You guys go first.
I guess I think I down it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I middled it.
I think I down like it, too. Ooh. Yeah, I down it.
Well, I'll just be the fucking Pollyanna here.
Okay. Wow.
All right. So then we have Samoa Joe and MJF, and they're backstage, and MJF's basically saying to Samoa Joe, like, hey, you aren't good at protecting me, so what's the point of all this? See ya. And as he's walking down the hall, he takes two steps, and he sees a mask on the ground, but it's like a ski mask, and it's right next to the Mogul embassy door.
What?
Mm-hmm. And so then he
thickens.
Knocks on the door. Swerve comes out. MJF accuses Swerve of being the devil. Samoa comes in and saves him because the entire Mogul embassy were about to jump MJF. So Samoa comes in and is like, let's get out of here, buddy, or whatever the fuck he said. And I like this. I like the constant shifting of blame. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? I don't believe it's MJF. I still think it's Roddy, but I mean, it might not be. I don't know what they're going to do. It just seems like if anyone's trying to frame anyone, it would be Roderick, you know, because he hates MJF so much.
He's his best friend by proxy.
He doesn't say that. He calls Samoa Joe his best friend by proxy.
At one point, he was going to be his best friend.
At one point, he said, but Adam's not around, so like maybe he doesn't feel like he has to do that right now. I don't know. It could be something entirely different. Who the fuck knows? If it's going to be something cool, it better happen fucking quick, because I'm getting real tired of this. And if it's going to be something lame, have it be something at least that goes along with the story. Like it being Roderick, you know?
All right. I like this segment a lot because we've never really had a Strickland MJF face down. And I mean, you can see the difference right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Paige goes nose to nose with him, MJF walks circles around him.
Yeah.
When Strickland's there, like
he just holds his presence own for sure.
Like, okay, this is something.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like, did he call him Shane badass. Strickland?
Yeah.
am I tired of this angle? Yes. Did they give me something new here?
Yes.
Also, yes.
Again, so this segment is better than the previous segment. Like, this is all they really needed because it's continuing this whole story. It's new. It's interesting. Yeah. But yeah, they didn't need the previous segment. But whatever. We have two in one night. Let's do it.
Indeed. What'd you thumb this?
I upped it.
Up for me.
Yeah. Then we have Commander versus Roderick Strong. Commander's amazing.
This I should hasten to mention is where I started to become very fatigued and in and out of consciousness. So I rewatched most of this match and the following match.
Okay.
But I'm under the weather and I watched this through sick vision.
Okay.
You, sir, are a trooper.
Absolutely. We've got Commander versus Roderick Strong. Commander's amazing. Roderick's pretty good, and it's funny, like, would he have gotten the push if it wasn't for all this weird shit for so long, right? Who knows? Who knows how the audience would have felt? But we got
He's another one of those guys who, like, is just a stone-cold killer in the ring, And is sort of mediocre in terms of character and, you know, mic skills and whatnot. So like it really helps him, kind of like Red Dragon, where, you know, they were just booked in a really great position. They had, Adam Cole, you know, kind of like, taking the point for them in terms of, you know, like story progression and whatnot. And it really works. And like Roddy would really shine, in a position where he, you know, like doesn't have to be the face of things like he is with the Kingdom. It's real tenuous right now.
But he's in prime position to be the face of something with that mustache.
Yeah, right? Looks cute.
Don't hate that mustache.
So Commander, he, again, when he walks on the rope, the announcer said he started training when he was 13 years old. And I'm like, man, the first thing this motherfucker did is learned how to tightrope walk. Because the way he walks on these ropes and just effort, it looks so effortless when he just like stops in the middle and then does a flip outside the ring right on target. And it's like, fuck, dude. Fucking A. Do you know how many years we had to watch dudes hold another dude's hand while they did this? And now you are doing, just showing everybody up. Just everyone's
pulling Mark Calloway out.
Everyone's
to be fair,
everyone's whole the ass Undertaker is showing.
Was like 200 pounds more than that dude.
I'm talking about AEW.
Like a full foot and a half taller.
I'm talking about people in AEW.
Lance Archer, also
but
significantly
bigger.
He's
not the only one. Ricky Starks, Jericho.
Oh wow,
did
you're
it.
Going after Ricky
I'm
Starks
about
anybody
now.
Who
did it. Ooh. Anybody who did it. Which Ooh, there were many guys
you said
that did it. Many guys. Jericho, many guys have done this. I think Sammy Guevara even did it. It's like, you know, this is like fucking A, right? This is just showing everyone's ass. And I'm not mad about it. I always think the other one looks weird. I'm not, and you know what? This is the kind of move that isn't for everyone. Yeah. It's okay. You don't have to do it. Like there's other things you can do. So when someone can do it, he should fucking do it every single time. Cause this shit is crazy. Anyway. I thought this was a fantastic match. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Yeah. And, Roderick wins, which I was pretty sure they were going to do it just because like they're pushing his character pretty hard. But God damn it, if Commander shouldn't fucking take a bow, man. He yeah. should get all of our salutes and praises and claps. And yeah. a belt someday. Yeah. Anyway. So this is sort of the same segment. Renee comes in the ring and Roderick is accusing MJF of being the devil.
The Kingdom are taping signs up
yeah.
to the barrier that says MJF is the devil. And they stay up. We get to see him for the rest of the night. I love it.
And again, I think it's Roderick Strong. I think this is another way that he's trying to throw suspicion or just get people to turn on MJF. And I don't know. So, but this whole match gets thumbs up.
Yeah.
We've got, oh my God, just side note. Abaddon and Thunder Rosa are tag teaming? Holy shit.
Yeah. Maybe you should start watching Collision.
Yeah.
Mm.
The universe.
Like, here's the thing. Abaddon deserves a push. The story about the Black Mist, how it affected Willow, how it affected Sky Blue, that deserves its own push. Thunder Rosa coming back deserves its
whole episode.
Yeah,
three separate storylines that ideally should have had their own thing going. Like they should have had their own time in an episode rather than having all three of them smushed together.
Yeah, like they all have to be in like one of the smaller Swiss Army knives.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is
like, and yeah. I like all of them, and I want all of them to be doing the things they're doing right now. But the fact that we have to put them into a tag match, you do it like, you know, 2-3 months down the road after they've had time to like do all their stuff, but like to just push it together like
immediately.
Yeah,
this whole thing, this is the problem with, you know, and then Tony's probably saying to himself, God, but we don't have any stories. We don't have any stories for women. I can't feature more than one women's match tonight because we don't have any stories for them. Well, motherfucker, guess what? You just killed all of your stories in a single fucking night. Like, what's wrong with you? And
I mean, I have to assume that he's looking at the numbers and sees that women don't draw. And so the conclusion,
it definitely won't be a draw if you never put any attention to it and don't make it interesting. That's, absolutely, it won't.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. It's like literally being like, okay, I know everyone's going to need to pee halfway through. So who's playing halftime? Nickelback? Cool. You know what I mean?
Wait, what?
This is this is what I'm saying. He's scheduling a pee break.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
And so it's just not fair. It's not cool.
I would have gone with the metaphor of the beatings will continue until morale improves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know what that comes from.
I could see where peeing on Nickelback is a good way to explain things.
Sure.
Yeah, it usually is.
I think every fucking episode, I'm getting more and more upset with Tony over this whole issue. Because, like, again, WWE has an amazing women's division. Other fucking promotions have amazing women's divisions. I don't understand what the fuck is up with AEW. There's just no reason for it. There's no reason for it.
But it does seem to go between both, like the way the show is put together and the way a lot of fans respond to it. Because like when they do the women's stuff, like at the shows, like they get very quiet.
They do, and I think it's because no one's really sure how to feel. No one's really sure, like, if there's just no stakes. When there are stakes or when there's something new and fun and exciting happening, the audience absolutely pops, you know? But if you don't give them anything, if you don't have any stories going on, if you have the same, like, think about all the wrestlers on the men's division and how much they've changed, right? Remember Miro? He was like a party guy and then he turned into the Redeemer. All this stuff, there's so many changes on the men's division. MJF has changed a million fucking times. Adam Cole has changed. Fucking Mox has changed, in different ways. Kenny has changed. The Bucks have changed. Everybody has fucking changed here and there. Even fucking Penta. He had Penta Oscuro for a while. You know what I mean? Jericho changes all the time. Whatever. They don't do that with the women's division. They never do that. And when they did, it was like a fluke and it worked. And so this is now something they're doing with a couple other women. But like, I think in general, and they did it with the Outcasts, everyone loved that. And I think that's more the thing. It's like people want something fun and new. They like it when someone turns one way or the other. You know, they like it when things come to a head and somebody just like loses their shit and suddenly they're like, I don't know, the egg monster. Like, it doesn't even matter. It's something else. And it's going to be, they have a totally different mindset, totally different vendetta, a totally different character, costume, whatever. Their moves are called something else. It's part of a wrestler's repertoire is that all the things they did within their lives, they have all these moves that have different names from all the different characters. And it just bothers me when we see that they don't really try with the women to be like, oh, they're not popping. Well, let's try this. Let's see if this works. And it's just, they're not really doing much with that.
I don't know. Like, they should change Red Velvet altogether. They should change.
I pitch that we change Red Velvet into the Egg Monster.
Egg Monster. Yeah, I agree.
Or just like the Batter Beater.
I don't know.
About that. If you want to like make it tough, she mixes it up just as she beats batter. She's a batter beater. You big bunch of batter. Hey, you big bowl of batter. I'm gonna beat you. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. Like, there's.
She's in the back beating off. Yeah.
Sure. Fuck it. I mean, it's funny. You know, at least there's a funny bit in there if nothing else hooks, that might, right? And like the native beast, fucking love that. However, it's just not clicking anymore. Like, she's a fucking actual beast. She's so badass and she should be treated as such. But there needs to be, if it's not working, then there has to be some change. Either maybe it's just a costume change. Maybe it's just a mindset change. Like, her character has a different frame of mind now. I don't know. You know, it's just disappointing because they deserve a lot more.
Yeah, speaking of Nyla, I don't know if you saw the link that I sent, but Nyla is now part of the tag team champions for Pandemonium Pro Wrestling.
Oh, right.
A show that I've never heard of, but is apparently in Los Angeles.
I've heard of it because isn't that where Jericho, like, he like surprised everyone and showed up? Wasn't it Pandemonium? Oh, I thought it was.
I'm not sure.
It could be.
Could well be. But their next show is in March, and I think we should go see that show.
Ooh. Cool.
Also, I think in 2024, if AEW does not get their shit together in terms of the women's division, I'm not suggesting that we abandon AEW entirely, but I think maybe we should take 1 week a month and just go watch Stardom or some other like really good promotion that's out there. Because
I would be into that, actually, because it's just frustrating. And then maybe they're looking for ideas. I mean, I can't imagine that they haven't done this themselves, but I don't know. I wonder. Mm.
Indeed.
Wah, wah, wah,
wonder.
Yeah, there you go. Why, why, she went away. Okay. All right. Now that I've officially pissed everyone off, we've got Jay White versus Mox.
Hold on. Did we all thumb that last one?
Wait, the Roddy one?
Yeah.
Commander and Roddy. I thumbed it up.
It was an up.
Yeah, me too. Okay. We can move
on. Don't forget, we got a segment of AEW wrestlers watching Aquaman 2 that implied that it was enjoyable.
I wasn't entirely sure how to address that one because it was like full on paid content.
I thought it was like a commercial.
Yeah.
So I didn't write anything down.
There's not much to write down about it, I don't think. But it happened.
It did happen. So Jay White versus Mox. Now, Mox didn't bleed. There is a sign that says, spoiler alert, Mox is going to bleed. And truly, that is every other match. But for some reason, he did not bleed tonight. And I don't think, I can't remember if he bled in his other, this particular, whatever it's called, Continental Classic. I don't know if he's bled in those. Anyway.
Oh, yes. He absolutely
has. Okay. Mox hit his head at one point, which is always scary when Jay, like, you know, flips him back. It's always fucking scary to see that. Anyway, this was a great match. Absolutely amazing. I guess I have nothing about the match necessarily that I want to talk about. I more want to talk about
what the fuck is this bracket? Because Jay White wins, so now Mox and Swerve have 12 points. But how did Mox get 12 points if Jay White won?
Because he had 12 points going in. They mentioned this at the beginning of the show during the Swerve Roosh match. They're saying that if this happens tonight, given that there are three matches for this league, it's possible that, you know, there will be some ties. They laid it all out and then the screen went black.
Yeah.
So that was unfortunate. If you didn't catch the information fast enough before it went out, but they did push it, and they didn't push it too hard, because if they're at the beginning of this match, it'd be like, you know, if he loses, we're going to have a three-way match next week. But yeah, that is why there's got three people in that division with the same number of points.
Okay, so that's why there's a three-way next week. Okay, because it just really, yeah. Like, the match was fantastic. I can't see enough positive things about it, but what more was sticking in my mind when it was all over, and then you see the points and all this stuff, and then they're saying there's going to be a three-way match this week. I'm like, wait. But why? And now I know.
Yeah.
It's driving me nuts.
And I didn't have any notes for this match, just other than real good. But also, like, seeing Jay White just really pushing the I'm a bad guy, I do underhanded things, I am faster, and Mox being like, you know, like large and lumbering and strong, yeah, and aggressive,
and he really like but also played wounded that up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so like it was real fun seeing those two different styles, and to see Jay White win, which is really cool, and also Mox lose, which is really cool. And then Swerve comes out at the end. And again, all he has to do is fucking stand there.
Dude.
Not everybody can do that. MJF can't do that. MJF is probably the best heel there, and arguably in the world. And he can't just stand there and people go, oh, fuck.
Yeah. No, Swerve is can. Fucking perfection.
Yeah.
He's the coolest guy in the world. He's Indeed. An amazing wrestler.
That is.
And one of these days, and I would like it to be soon, but I don't know exactly what soon means, but I'd love him to have the belt.
He's got
the championship belt. Like, they gave him a little bit of room to move, and he fucking just blew it out of the water, mm-hmm. and they're absolutely, like, there's no question that, like, oh yeah, he has what it takes. People are going to be behind him.
Hell yeah.
He's going to get a belt.
I mean, the entire audience before Nana even starts dancing. They're dancing. Even Jay White was dancing.
I mean, he was doing it in a real snarky way.
Sure. But he did it. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if you want to be a success in wrestling, you have to have something that people can shout, an action that people can do. I don't know. I guess those are the two things. People want to interact, so you have to give them really something to interact with. To, yeah.
Yeah, you have to shout, let it all out.
Shout and move around.
These are the things that we're...
We didn't know where it goes after that.
These are the things we can do without.
Come on.
I'm talking to you.
This is an 81% show. I'm assuming everybody thumbed that last one up.
Yes, absolutely.
You goddamn well better. To the skies. We're going to have to check this whole show. So, like, there was a lot of stuff that was really questionable, but at the end, yeah, still real good.
There you go.
Indeed.
That's pretty good considering we had some downs, you know what I mean?
Some downs, yeah, yes. Multiple downs. We won't be here next week, I will be in London. I don't know what y'all are doing.
He'll be London. He'll be in London. Me. He'll be in France. He'll be looking at the Queen's underpants.
If I can.
Yeah, I know you got no those queen shovels. Anymore.
So I guess I'll be.
You're going to be
looking at.
There is a queen, Camilla.
She's the. I don't think she's officially a queen. I think consort or something like
yeah.
that.
I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
Me neither. I guess I'll find out.
I want to Google
she's
it.
She's the queen consort. She's called Queen Camilla, yeah. Queen consort of the United Kingdom.
Yeah. Consort just means she's married to the king, that she's not part of the lineage, but she's still queen.
Huh. Interesting. That's a real, she looks real weird in that big purple crown.
Yeah. Some people can pull it off. Some people can't.
Olivia Colman is really the only person that I respect in that crowd.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll be off next week. We'll be back the week after, I imagine. And enjoy your holidays. And I won't say look forward to it, but by God, if we have to, we'll start watching Stardom in 2024, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
We love you. Good night.
Bye.
Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-ding-ding.